Well, it's all in the family. We are glad you're here. I just want to thank you. If you're a visitor, welcome to the services today. We're excited about what today is all about. As you can tell, I have my coaching outfit on. Yeah. So I coached for a long time. It's not really true. I normally coach in sweats, and I got my sweats out. My wife was like, "That is like no. You're not doing that." I even had my tennis shoes on. I mean, I thought I was it. She says, "You're way too old for any of that." So I said, "Well, can I wear a whistle?" She said, "Yes." So I have my quarter zip, my whistle. But why do I say coaching? Well, as you know, the USA right now is turned upside down because the NCAA basketball tournament. It's March Madness. How many of you are excited about that? Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, March Madness is exciting. Basketball is exciting. Football, not so much. As you know, I just ignored the entire NFL. But college basketball, I mean, this is where it's all at. High school basketball is where it's all at. So, first of all, I just want you to know something. Our boys and girls at Anchorage Christian Schools qualified for the state tournament. Let's give them a hand. Coach Zach and Coach Chad have done an amazing job. The boys took second place at region. The girls took first place at region. As a matter of fact, it's amazing. They're playing Diamond and East High School. The boys are playing East, and the girls are playing Diamond. And one of our star players, Savia, is going to go for the all-time highest scoring girl in Alaskan history. So she is Gatorade Player of the Year. She's amazing to watch. She's already signed at Washington. And so, man, if you have never seen her play, she's awesome. And it's exciting. So, with that said, it's time to talk about games. We've been talking in this series, Welcome to the Family, about a lot. We've looked at church dynamics. Man, we've looked at what it looks like for them, the early church, to be a witness. They were not just Christians who witnessed. They were witnesses who happened to be called Christians, right? And then last week we talked about how that they were on fire. They were set on fire. They were speaking out. They were standing up. They were sharing and serving within. They were suffering without, and they were submitting to God, and they were sharing the gospel. Man, they were on fire. Well, today we're going to talk about what was it that helped them have victory in what they were doing. How do they have victory? How was it that they were able to do what they did when it comes to the mental thinking and the mental processing? So, have you ever wondered how teams win? How do teams have victory? How do these guys make it to the championship game? Now, a lot of guys will say things like, "Hey, if you have a great player like Savia, you can make it." And listen, players are important. But I know you guys aren't going to know a lot of these players, some of you, but I'm just going to read a few really incredible players that never won an NCAA tournament. Damian Lillard, Klay Thompson, Paul George, Pete Maravich back in the day, never won an NCAA tournament. How about these guys? Chris Paul and Vince Carter and Reggie Miller and Allen Iverson and Charles Barkley, they never won an NBA title. Man, I mean, some of the greatest players that ever played the game never had victory. Listen, there's a lot of great Christians in the room who do incredible things, but yet their churches never seem to have victory. You know, it's just not just the players. And by the way, it's not just the resources. It's not, hey, churches don't just have victory because they have a lot of cool things, not because they have great coaches or great pastors. That's not it either. You see, having victory is so much more than that. It's so much more than that. It really comes down to one way of thinking, and that is this: the fundamentals. When we think about what it takes to be victorious, we think about the fundamentals. When we think about basketball, we think about the fundamentals. What are those? Man, you have to have the fundamentals of shooting and passing and dribbling and rebounding and not turning the ball over. Oh my goodness, I used to drive me crazy. How about this? A solid defense. In other words, it's all the small things that matter that make a great basketball team. This is very true in the church as well. It takes so much more, but it's all about the fundamentals. The fundamentals, the fundamentals. The early church, by the way, they were fundamental. Listen, they were a family faithful to the fundamentals, a family of our first fundamental of one mind, of one mind. I want you to be thinking about this basketball right back here. One mind. Listen, if you're going to be a basketball team, you have to be of one mind. If you are split or divided in any way, you will not accomplish the goals that you have. We as Christians have to understand something, that only one of the main fundamentals that stop every church from being successful but sharing the gospel and growing in their faith is they're not one. Everybody has some opinion of something important or something to do, and they find themselves stretched all over the world. Matter of fact, it sometimes looks like we are all wearing different uniforms. We're not one. We're a bunch of individuals who find themselves struggling and running and going, but they're not of one mind. When you think of the uniform, uniforms are the things that make sure you know whose team you're on. Now, I had to play basketball sometimes where we forgot our uniforms. Have you ever done something stupid like that? Like, you're on the road and you're supposed to wear darks, but you forget and your manager brings whites. So then you're playing, your colors are close to the opponent, and before you know it, you know, guys are throwing the ball to the wrong person. You know, you don't know who's on your team, which seems odd, but it's crazy how it happens. You know, oftentimes in the Christian faith, these kind of things happen as well. But this early church, listen, they were one. And I want you to be thinking about your own self and how you see yourself in this church. Do you see yourself as part of one? One. Notice these passages. Acts chapter 1 and verse 14 says this. All these were of one accord. Acts 8:6 says this. And the crowds with one accord pay attention to what was being said. Acts 15:25. As it seems good to us, having come to one accord. Sounds familiar? The theme throughout the entire book is about one. How about this one? Acts 4:32. Now, the full number of those who believe were of one heart and one soul. And no one said that any of his things belonged to him. That was his own. But they had everything in common. Oneness. Oneness. When we think about fundamentals, you and I need to understand that being one matters. Being one matters. The strongest churches are those who are one, one in every way. But listen, now, when you are one, you need to understand something. There is nothing that you can set your mind to that cannot be accomplished. I want you to grasp this for a second. Why is oneness in a team so important? Because when you determine that you are one, you can accomplish amazing, amazing things. Listen, the only roadblocks in you and I accomplishing whatever we set our mind to, there are three things, okay? Listen, there's this one, the ability to stay unified, and we're gonna talk about that next week. How about this one, the power of the laws of nature. In other words, only thing that limits us is the power and the law of nature. And the third thing is this, the will of God. The willingness of God to participate. Now, I was just looking up the craziest things in all the world. Have you ever, I'm a weird like that, but have you ever wondered what was the most difficult thing that society has ever tried to accomplish? Have you ever thought about that? Like, over a history of the world, what is the most difficult thing that anybody's ever tried to accomplish? And I had to admit, I came across this thing, and I'm sure there's other things that are amazing, but this one's amazing. Putting a man on the moon. Like, who thought that up? Like, hey, let's get together. Well, let's go put a guy on the moon. Now, 400 years ago, you had to got together and say, hey, we're going to put a guy on the moon. They would have went like, ah, what have you been smoking? Right? I mean, who talks like that? And yet, to put a guy on the moon, it took 400,000 people. Besides an entire country that backed them up. 400,000. That's more than all the people in Anchorage. It took to get a guy on the moon. And all the systems and all the technology, we're still benefiting from the technology that's out there today. Somehow, men came together, they had one mind, and they said, we are going to put a guy on the moon, and they were determined, and they did it. Now guess what they're crazy talking about? We're going to put a guy on Mars. the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. You know what they're going to find? What they found on the moon. Nothing. But it's okay. It's okay. As crazy as it is, and as outlandish as it is, do you want to know what I believe? I believe it's possible. I believe when man puts his mind to something and is one in purpose, he can accomplish it. Now, I know you guys are thinking that's crazy, and it's going to be stupid money, and all that's exactly correct. But if the three laws do not divide, they will accomplish it. In other words, if they can stay unified in the idea, if the laws of nature don't prevent it, and whether God, and if God allows it, it can be done. Now, some of you guys are thinking that's crazy. I want you to understand that this is a fundamental biblical truth. God knew and created us to be so incredible, so one, that we could accomplish amazing things, absolutely amazing things. Now listen to this. If you have your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 1 or 12. Let me just share with you that God himself says this. God himself says this. Here he goes. Chapter 11, verse 1. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as the people migrated to the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we disperse over the face of the whole earth. Now the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said this, listen to these words. And the Lord said this, behold, they are one people. They have all one language. And this is only the beginning. We put a man on the moon. It's only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they purpose to do will now be impossible to them. Do you hear those words? Nothing they purpose to do will be impossible for them. Wow. What a statement of the image of God that God has created us. The incredible mind and intellect, the ability for us to remember information and pass it on to generation and generation and generation, to gain knowledge, to make decisions, to do things that we never dreamed possible. This is who we are. This is what is true. Man, think about that with God's people. Think about that with God's people. You see, in this situation, rule number three was enacted. God says, like, you're not doing that, so I'm going to split their languages. But think about this. God's people with one spirit, one mission, one word of God can do whatever their minds are set to. If we want to tell every Alaskan the gospel, guess what? If we are one, we can do it. We can do it. This is what God has created us to be thinking like, to design around. Now listen to me. Listen, again, we have the rules. Why won't we tell the entire state about the gospel? Why won't we share the gospel with every state? Because maybe it's because we will not be of one mind. Maybe we'll have a group of people who have other agendas and want to do other things. Maybe it's because the laws of nature just don't let it happen. In other words, we just, for whatever reason, we physically, based on nature, can't do it, which is not a hindrance. And maybe God says, listen, I'm not ready to do that yet, and I'm going to intervene. But still, think about the thought. We can do anything our minds are set to if God is in it. Not only that, a faithful family that is faithful to the fundamentals focuses on his faith. So in other words, do we have this idea of oneness if we set our mind to it? But the second thing is they have to have fundamental faith. These fundamentals of the faith are so, so important. What are these kind of fundamental faith thinking? Now, when it comes to a basketball game, guess what? If you don't believe you can win, you won't. If you don't believe you can win, you won't. I can tell you right now, FDU, I can't even say their name, Fairleigh Dickinson University, the number 16 seed in the tournament this year, like Cinderella story, never, I mean, come on, we don't even know their name. They knock off the number one seed, Purdue. Now, I don't know. I think Purdue forgot some of the fundamentals. But the point is this. Those guys had faith they could win. Those kids didn't walk into the gym and say, you know what, this is Purdue, we can't do it. I know that guy's like 17 feet tall on the other side, which, by the way, they have this huge guy. They didn't think that. They weren't overwhelmed by 6 or 7, 8 or whatever the height is that guy is, the giant in the room, the Goliath in the room. No, they weren't. They walked in there and they had faith that they could win. And they walked away with a W. It destroyed everybody's bracket on the planet. Nobody has a perfect bracket any longer. Listen, the Christian faith is no different. When we don't have faith, God doesn't move. Not only are we to be one in mind, but we are to be one in faith, learning the truth, listening in prayer, and living it out. This oneness in faith is required by us. Faith. Do you understand it? Listen to these passages all the way through Acts as we walk through this early church, this first church. They were devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and the prayers. All these were one accord, devoting themselves to prayer, Acts 1:14, Acts 6:4. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word, Acts 14:23. And they had appointed the elders for them in every church with prayer and fasting. They committed them to the Lord whom they had believed, Acts 16:25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Is prisoners, the other prisoners were listening to them as they're in jail. Listen, they understood the foundation of their faith. They didn't vary or worry or get sidetracked because they were in prison. Acts 28:31 says this, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Amen. Listen, the fundamental of faith. Without faith, you won't win. Without faith, we as a church won't win. If we don't believe it's possible, it won't happen. If you don't think God is in the house, you'll not respond as though he is. Church, listen. This early church was amazing. They were absolutely, fundamentally sound. The third fundamental that they had, which is incredible, is this. They were a family of faith, full of the fundamentals, recognizing and executing their roles. Recognizing and executing their roles. Now, I don't know about you, but I've coached basketball for a long time. It's always amazing to me how the guy that is 6'10" feels like he needs to be the point guard. I don't know if it's just that the ball's not in his hands or whatever. He's normally the tallest guy in the room. You know, he's got to have the ball in his hands. You know, like, sir, son, I'm sorry. Run down under the basket. Like, you're the tall guy. I mean, when we really think about roles on a basketball team or any team, even your workplace, everybody has to do their part. You see, winning championships in basketball is so much more important than just the five players that are on the court. There are trainers. There are managers. Man, there are people behind the scenes doing all the little tiny things. If you look at some of the biggest programs in this country, you're going to find there is a whole team of people. Matter of fact, some teams have a coach for every player on the team. Like, they are dedicated. They are committed. Why? Because they know this. They've got to teach their team to do the roles that they were designed to be around. Everybody has to play their part. Everybody has to do their part. By the way, even the fans have a role. I'll never forget when I was coaching, one of the things I used to make my players do is, I want you in the middle of warm-ups to stop halfway through and walk through the crowd and thank people for spending money to come watch you play. That's what you're going to do. You're going to walk through the crowd. You're going to say, hey, thanks for coming tonight. Thanks for coming tonight. Why do you think I'm so excited about thanking visitors for walking in these doors? Because without them, we are not about our business. And our business is to share the gospel. Our business is to reach the entire state of Alaska with the truth. Guess what? If we don't have visitors, we're not doing a very good job. Listen, if there's no fans in the crowd, you're not doing a very good job. You're not doing a very good job. Not only does it do this, listen, when you realize that it's the fans that are watching you, you want to know how much you can play, you'll play so much harder. I can remember at a halftime one time walking in and said, listen, you need to go out and return the money of everybody who just showed up here because you play terrible.
Hello.
Listen, how often do we come to this church? We sit in our pew. We do our part. We should give our money back because you weren't nice to a visitor. You weren't nice to the person next to you. You weren't an encourager. You were just literally angry, mean, fruit, upset. Like, you didn't do your part. Listen, we all have a part. We all have a role. God has designed us that way. Listen, in the early church, man, they knew their roles. Think about these. The roles of the disciples, what they did and how they taught. The roles of the people with property. Remember, those that had wealth and property, they sold what they had. If the church needed, they sold it. Listen, how about this one? The servants feeding the widow ladies. What they do? They just said immediately, hey, we'll do that. They filled the spots, the roles of evangelists and teachers, encouragers, those who served, invited. Listen, defended. How about those that were the cooks? In this church, early church, there were people that were farming, there were people that were reaping, there were people that were sowing. Everybody played a part. Everybody had a role. Everybody had to use their gift. It's fundamental. The strongest churches are the ones where everyone knows their role and plays their part. They're not struggling in it. Paul, listen, in the midst of Acts, it's the whole story of the New Testament church. But in the midst of Acts, Paul is having to deal with Corinthians, and he actually writes the letter to the Corinthians, and they're struggling with this. It's so important to the early church, the Jerusalem church, that Paul writes this letter and says, listen, you guys, I need you to understand something. So let's just read this passage together. Here we go, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. This is amazing. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit, we are all baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, slaves and free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. In other words, we have so many of us. Now, remember, the early church, remember we talked about last week? It was about all the nations coming together. Now you think about this. Do you think we're diverse? Oh, my word. Think about every tribe and every nation and every language being in the church. That's what it was like in the beginning. Now notice this in verse 15. He says this, or 14. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I do not belong to the body. Well, that wouldn't make it any less part of the body. In other words, you could say whatever you want to say, but it doesn't make you any less part of the body. How about this one? The ear should say, because I am not the eye, I do not belong to the body. That would not make it any less part of the body. And listen, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? Guys, listen, it's amazing how this was written 2,000 years ago and we're still struggling with it today. We still haven't figured out this idea of one, this idea of what it means to have faith, this idea of what it means to play our role. Listen, every one of you has a part to play. Every person sitting in here, unless you're a visitor and you even have a part to play, being a visitor, we're glad you're here. But every person, every member has a part to play. It's fundamental to success. It's fundamental in basketball. It's fundamental in life. It's fundamental in a church. Are you playing your part? That's the question. A family faithful to the fundamentals recognizes and executes its roles. Lastly, a family faithful to the fundamentals is committing to attaining the prize. Now I have this trophy up here because the trophy is really what everybody's striving for, right? When it comes to sports, everybody wants the trophy. But I want you to know something, that some of the greatest teams that have ever existed don't play for one trophy. They play to be a dynasty. They want to rule the sport. They don't want to be a part of the sport. They don't want to just have a one-year wonder. No, they want to be the sport. They want to be everything that it takes to be successful. Back in the day, what was the team? All of you guys that are a little older than most of the people in here, who was the team to beat in college basketball back in the day?
UCLA.
UCLA. That's right. Unreal. Never lost. Do you want to know what that coach did on the first day of practice? He said, hey, these are socks, and this is how you put them on. These are your shoes, and you will tie them just like this. Man, he was, Wooden was amazing. He was all about the fundamentals. He was all about the small things that made the difference at the end of the game. Church, the prize that we're striving for is to be like Christ. The prize that we're trying to attain is this eternal engagement with the creator of the universe to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I mean, we're all striving to be there. We want the prize. Man, when you read what happens in Acts, you hear that Paul or Peter, how he's just boldly sharing the gospel. And then the other disciples who had it, who got thrown in prison on a regular basis because of what they were doing. Man, Stephen and Philip and Timothy. And again, I love Paul because he does all the writing. I don't know why Paul was the writer in the group, but he was the writer. Think about what he says here. This is awesome. Philippians, we got to turn to it. Chapter 3, verse 7. When it comes to us as Christians, fundamental in our faith, striving, absolutely striving to win the prize. This is what Paul says. But whatever I gain, whatever gain I had, I count as loss for the sake of Christ. In other words, the prize is so valuable, my life and everything that I have, every possession that I have, is just a waste of time. Talk about one. Talk about faith. Talk about roles. The prize is amazing. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ. The worth of knowing Jesus Christ for my Lord. For his sake, listen, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I might gain Christ. Even the bad things that happen to me, I don't care about those. The beatings, I don't care about those. I don't care about any of that. And be found in him, not having the righteousness of my own that comes from the law or the rules. Wow. Think about that. But that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Fundamental. Faith. Notice this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrections and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him, wearing the same uniform in his death. That by any means possible, by the oneness of my mind, by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained this or am already perfect. Not that I'm there. I am striving for this, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Church, the early church, the family, what did they do? Man, they knew they were witnesses. They weren't people who witnessed. They were on fire. They didn't try to gain fire. Man, and they are people of fundamentals, and they did not strive from it. And they turned the world upside down. Church, when we look at the book of Acts, we learn so much about where we need to go. We need to go. The key is this. Do you realize what Paul said in Corinthians? You are a member. We are a church as a whole. It's beautiful to see all of you. but you are individually a part in what God is doing here. You have a role to play. You must be one in mind, all about Christ. You must be committed to the faith, prayer, learning, and living the Christian faith. You must understand that you are all about the prize and not getting distracted in life. Church, if we do this, there is nothing that we cannot do. There is nothing that we cannot do. And I believe God has called us at this time in history to be the salt, light, and love of Christ to all of Alaska, to tell every Alaskan the gospel, and to make, man, fully devoted followers of Christ, Christ-centered world changers. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Some of you in the room today are probably thinking, that sounds really cool, but I don't know anything. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not even on the team. I'm not even part of the game. Man, I just came here today, and I just wanted to check you out. I want to see what was going on. I want you to know we're inviting you to be on the team. We're inviting you to be part of this team. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we're inviting you right now to be part of our team. What does it mean to be part of the team of Christ? It means this, that you believe in your heart that he has risen from the dead and you commit yourself to follow him. The Bible says if we'll confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart he's risen from the dead, we shall be saved. And my invitation is to you. If you've never joined the team, man, he's waiting for you because he has big plans for you. God's going to do some amazing things. One of the greatest things that he does is he forgives you. You can walk free from sin and the power of it. It is so amazing to know that. Not only that, you will receive eternal life. Life after this one. I promise you, the moment you die, life is only beginning. It is not ending. And so today, my question for you is this: will you give your life to Jesus? Will you right there where you're sitting say, Lord, I need you. I believe in you and I will follow you. Because if you will, you'll be on the team. But for all of you in the room, all my Christian friends, and I call you my friends, my family, I want you to think about the fundamentals in your own life. You are a member. You may be an eye or a foot. Man, you might be a toenail, I don't know. That's the way I see myself. My leg's just killing me right now, just so you know, because I was snow machining yesterday. Right now I'm thinking, why is the body connected? I wish I could just cut that part off. But you can't do it. That's what that passage goes on to say. We're all hurting together. We're all moving together. We're all doing things together. God's desire for you is to change the world. And we hope that you'll be part of it. Let's stand with our heads bowed. It's prayer time.